Look at you go.
Look at me. I'm a strong, independent woman who don't need no man's approval. And I can't find the mouse.
Can this just be the beginning of the next one?
What happened? Oh, yeah. No. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Six of One podcast, a podcast about curious things. I'm Sav, one of your hosts, and your other host is Kyle. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Sav.
How's it going?
It's going good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
We talked too much before this, no?
I know, and now we have nothing to share.
Right.
We could have stopped doing that.
Yeah, we have to like silent treatment. When you come in my house.
No like, words.
No words.
No words until we start rolling. Right. What'd you do this week? Worked?
Yeah, I worked.
Mm.
I'm drinking fruit punch too, as you know.
I always love listening to podcasts and then you can hear it because there's like a little bit of a pause and then there's a...
Yeah, no, I mostly just worked. There's not anything exciting. Last weekend I did... I took Matt to... Mm-hmm. Our first date was in Rochester,
mm-hmm.
and it was during like a festival. Mm-hmm. So I took him back to the festival. Like, I surprised him.
Oh, how
and
cute!
He loved it. Aww. And yeah, we went back there and we, you know, made a day out of it.
Fun.
And it was fun, and he was surprised. He guessed it the morning of. He's like, "Are you gonna recreate?" Because it's around the time of our first date.
Oh.
Our first date was on the 7th.
Because festivals happen at the same time every year, so that makes sense.
Right. So we met 2 years ago, and then we got married a year and a half ago, because we're crazy people. So that was fun.
That is fun.
What'd you do this week? Exciting.
Worked a lot. Very tired. Busy week. Yeah.
Coming back from intercession, you're like, oh, wait, I actually have to work?
I know. And it's been warm, so it's just been like, ugh.
Oh, yeah.
Exhausted.
I really thought it was going to, like, September 1st, I feel like it was 70. It was like, this is so hot.
It's so hot now. It's like 80 degrees. Yeah. It's supposed to be like 85 on Monday or something.
Right. I'm pissed.
It's ridiculous. Oh, and my school started.
School started.
Yeah. My program started. So.
Oh.
That's exciting.
You got a lot going on now. Yeah. That's okay.
A lot of reading. I swear to God, I have like 13 books to read. It's ridiculous.
Right, and your master's is in like public, not
so,
public, like higher, like education administration, right?
So my undergrad psychology,
right.
My
master's. Oh no, your doctorate, sorry, or your other program. What is it? What program are you? What are you doing? What do you even do?
My master's was in
education.
Yep,
and that I knew. I was just saying.
This is education specialist, which is like the prereq, at least at this school. To a doctorate, yeah, in EDD, education doctorate, a doctorate of education.
Right, and then you want to get the doctorate so you can, like, go into...
I don't know what I wanted. Originally, I was thinking superintendent, but now I'm like, I might want to do, like, research, curriculum design.
Oh, that's fun.
That's pretty interesting.
That would be really interesting.
It's really interesting to see.
And then you'd have a broader range of places that you could... like things that you could do because you could work for like after school programs or you could work independently.
Yep.
Just be an independent contractor.
That could be a thing.
Now I feel like I'm a liar because I told somebody that you were going to be a superintendent and now
I'm
a liar.
Maybe one day. I don't know. Whatever pops up, whatever opportunities pop up.
Well.
Because, you know, in the district, there's always opportunities. The district that I work for, there's always opportunities for something.
Although, like, do you want to be the superintendent of that district?
I don't think so. Not with the heat that they get under.
Also, I feel like they're, like, cursed.
Seriously.
It's just a bad position. And yeah, it's just, like, you're right. Probably just the heat. But I just feel like something always happens.
Something dramatic always happens.
Very
in
dramatic.
This district. Always.
But you could go to any other district.
Or I could teach at a university level, too.
Oh, yeah.
That would be something.
Yeah, you could.
Or be like a...
So you would teach education?
Probably.
Yeah.
After I got enough experience. Because I don't feel like I have enough experience to teach.
Oh, yeah,
how to
for
teach.
Sure.
It's so meta.
Well, like most professors don't have enough experience.
Yeah,
to be fair. Because, like, professoring is mostly like to become a professor, like, you don't really... Like, you take education courses if you, like, that's what you want to do the whole time, right?
Right.
But, like, some people become a professor. They do that by, like, just...
being really good at the thing they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not the same as like being a high school teacher.
No. No. It's so weird. It's so like, it's so meta when I think about it. I'm like, I'm could possibly be teaching people how to teach other people. It's so weird.
That is meta. But like it's you, so weird. You took classes from people that taught you how to talk. So.
Exactly.
Taught you how to talk.
It's teacherception.
But like I could be a professor one day.
You could be.
Of communications.
Yeah. If you went far enough with that, yeah. Yeah. Can you get a doctorate in communication? Yeah, you can.
But you don't even have to. Like I could be an adjunct professor.
You could. You got a master's.
I don't even need a master's for that. Man, I had a professor in marketing at my university, the same place you go. But yeah, I had a, yeah, he just had a bachelor's.
Whoa.
But like he had enough years of experience in the field. That
yeah, yeah, that can sub for it for
sure.
It's
just an adjunct.
I feel like sometimes it's a little hard with the job market. You got to have a master's.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it depends on if they need people or not. Mm. But yeah, he taught at MSU and then also there.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. So he was just, like, floating. It was, like, an independent contract kind of thing. So, like, though you can't do, like, I couldn't get tenure doing that, you know?
No, definitely not.
So I'd probably have to get, like, a degree to do that.
Probably.
All right, that's enough probably tangenting before. Well, let's jump into it. What are we doing today?
Six of one. So I don't normally do people. I don't think I've ever done a person.
No, we only did one person.
We've done one person, and I was like, this podcast is void of people.
It needs more people.
Yeah, and me, being the English lover that I am, decided on a writer. The one, the only, Jack Kerouac.
Oh, Jack Kerouac? Yeah, no, I know who he is.
Jack Kerouac. I love him so much. He's one of my all-time favorite writers, mostly because, well, there's a lot of reasons.
I don't think I've ever read any Jack Kerouac.
Really?
Yeah, no, like, I should have, and I, like, maybe, like, some, like, short stuff. But, like, I feel like, I was never forced to.
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't either.
And then once I became an adult, it became really hard to read things, so.
That's true.
That's my story.
I'm going to bring over some Jack Kerouac. I have all the Jack Kerouacs.
Okay.
And you're going to read him. I'm going to force
him. I probably won't, but I'll try.
Whenever someone lends me a book, I'm not good at reading.
I think I saw a movie. I saw the movie.
Oh, is there a movie? Movie adaptation of something? Oh, there is a movie adaptation of something he wrote.
Yeah, I've seen that. And I've seen, like, other movies, I think, that he is part of. Like he's depicted in.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
I think he was depicted in that movie with Alan Gingrich. Gingrich?
Ginsburg?
Ginsburg. Ginsburg? Yeah. Ginsburg.
Yes.
Gingrich.
Gingrich.
Gary Gergich.
Actually, I'm going to talk about Alan, too.
Cool, yeah. No, I think he was in that movie where, you know, that movie, Daniel Radcliffe was in that, The Hoot.
The Hoot?
The movie called Hoot.
Oh, just Hoot?
Yes. Yeah, so I think it was called Hoot.
Well, now I need to see this. Put that on my to-do list. If you don't know, Mr. Jack Kerouac, you're about to.
It was called Howl.
Howl.
Sorry, I'm an asshole.
Same thing. Hoot, howl.
Okay,
animal
sorry.
Noises.
Yeah.
So, his actual birth name is, it's French, so fuck me. Jean-Louis Lebris de Kerouac.
Too fancy.
Known as Jack Kerouac. Just went by Jack Kerouac. He was an American novelist of French-Canadian ancestry who, alongside William S. Burroughs and Allen Ginsberg, was a pioneer of the Beat Generation.
Right. The antithesis to hipsters.
Yep. The original hipsters.
Was he born here?
He,
There's no super French name to give somebody that was born in America, but I guess.
He was raised in a French-speaking home.
Okay.
In Lowell, Massachusetts. Lowell, Massachusetts?
I think it's Lowell.
Lowell? Probably Lowell.
Like when you try to say LOL, but as a word, Lowell.
Lowell. I'm assuming with a name like that, either his parents were definitely in
So they were like French. Well, they're French-Canadian, but they're like French-Canadian.
Oh. We're going to get into that in a second.
Oh,
I guess.
Okay. Never mind. Sorry.
No, you're good.
Ahead.
I didn't realize that I wrote that down. I was like,
I'm jumping ahead
like,
and you're not remembering what you wrote.
Yeah.
Down.
No, I was like, I feel like I definitely knew where his parents were born and all that. Kerouac learned English at age 6 and spoke with a marked accent into his late teens.
Oh, my gosh. So he sounded like just like a person that speaks English. Oh, he's like, oh.
Kerouac is recognized for his style of spontaneous prose. Thematically, his work covers topics such as Catholic spirituality.
Fair.
I'm assuming he's probably raised Catholic. Fair. Jazz, promiscuity, life in New York, Buddhism, drugs, poverty, and travel.
Hmm.
We can get in a little bit of some of that
stuff.
Yeah,
I knew about the travel one because of the book.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That book, which I'll get into too.
That book.
He has a lasting legacy, greatly influencing many of the cultural icons of the 1960s, including Bob Dylan, the Beatles, and the Doors.
That's fair. They're all like up the same alley.
Yeah. I just love Jack Kerouac because he's a really cool, like, I don't know, hipster dude.
Right.
And the things he wrote about and stood for and who he was as a person in that time was just like epic to me.
Oh.
I just love him. He was
like, yeah, like, I know that. Yeah, I know he's cool. I just don't, I've never, like, I know about him. I just, yeah. ish, but, like, I just never
oh,
read
well,
it. I don't think I've ever read
about
anything about, like, anything he wrote.
Ooh. I'm going to talk about, I think, two things that he wrote that were very important.
Okay.
So, early life and adolescence. Jack Kerouac was born on March 12th, 1922 in Lowell. Massachusetts, to French-Canadian parents. So they were French-Canadian.
Okay.
Leo, I don't know. Alcide? Kerouac.
So Leo, Alcide? I'm trying to do it French. I can't do it.
So hard.
Alist? I don't know.
How would you say last name? Kerouac?
Kerouac? Yeah.
Probably one of the two.
If you, somebody French is listening to this, sorry. But like also really cool. Really, like I love that. We got internationalism.
Kerouac. I wish. If you're from France, please write us in. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I'm French. Because we get a lot of people writing us in all the time.
Yeah, all the time. I've received definitely at least one email.
Have you received
no,
one?
No,
okay, like, have you received one email?
That was being, me being
me.
Facetious. His dad was born into a family of potato farmers.
Potato.
And his mom, Gabrielle Ange Lev... Oh, my God. It's not...
Levesque.
Some other French word.
Levesque.
The Kerouac family was living at 34 Beaulieu Street in Lowell in 1926 when Jack's older brother, Gerard.
So, yeah, all these people have super French names and his brother, Jared.
Jared. That's horrible.
They're like, we gotta Americanize one of these kids' names. It's gonna be Jared.
Matt. Oh, that's your husband's name.
Yeah, it also could be French. With one T?
Yeah, it could
Matt.
Be. Oops. Anyway.
But Gerard is definitely French.
Gerard is definitely French. Sadly, unfortunately, he died of rheumatic fever at age 9.
Ooh.
So right out the gates, Jack had a really sad.
So rheumatic childhood. Fever is when you have rubella, right?
I believe so. You know, I was going to look it up and I was like, we'll know what that is.
We get that vaccine. I think it's part of the MMR.
Yes, it's the measles,
oh my gosh.
Mumps, and rubella.
Sorry, this is a side note, but you know how I went to that job fair yesterday? Or I was working that job fair? I also got my flu shot.
Oh, look at that.
At the
Good
fair.
For you. Good for you, right at the fair.
Yeah, it was great.
Later, Jack said that Gerard followed him in life as a guardian angel.
Oh, that's sweet.
This is the Gerard of Kerouac's novel, Visions of Gerard.
Oh, that tracks out.
That tracks, right? He had one other sibling, an older sister named Caroline.
Caroline.
Referred to as... he was referred to as Jean. Or Little Jean around the house during his childhood. That's a little fun fact.
Right, because what was his first name?
Jean.
No, his real first name.
Jean-Louis.
Okay.
Jean-Louis.
Yeah.
Okay. Kerouac spoke French with his family and began learning English at school around age 6, as we just mentioned. He began speaking it confidently into his late teens.
Before he was really nervous every time he spoke English. was like,
he wasn't confident enough to that point.
He did that finger thing when he was
leaving. He's like, and he looks down and shuffles his feet.
How do you say door?
Como se va door? No, that's not how you say it. How do you say?
Oh, I can't remember right now.
Parlez-vous? No.
No, that's do you speak. How do you say it would be like, ooh, how do you say, ouais parler? No, maybe that wouldn't be say, that'd be speak. I don't know. I don't know the verb, the correct verb.
I don't know either.
Ouais parler would make sense.
I know in Spanish it's como se dice.
Wow. Como se dice. D's nuts. All right.
For penance at age 6, he was told to say a rosary.
Hey, non-religious person asking you, what is to say a rosary?
Oh, a rosary is not just what you hold things.
Oh, it's also a prayer?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I think that's why it's referred to as a rosary, because you hold it while you're saying it.
Oh.
Or whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense. That checks out. Okay. I did not know that.
I think a rosary is like, yeah. He was told to say a rosary. I'm assuming that's what it was.
Oh, you just made that up?
I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100% sure.
Did you go to church as a child?
I did.
Well, you're one up than me, then.
10th grade. That would be my assumption.
Are your parents Catholic?
Yeah.
Oh, so like you really should know this.
I was raised Catholic.
Were you confirmed?
No.
Oh.
That's why.
That's fair.
I did communion.
So your first penance, communion. And then first like communion. 6, right?
Yep. Yeah, and then I was never.
But you're confirmed at like 12.
No.
When are you confirmed?
10th grade. 14.
Oh, dang. Mm-hmm. Yeah, by that time you were like, fuck you guys.
That's exactly what it was.
That's fair.
I was like, I'm not doing it.
That's super fair.
So he said that he would suffer, or he had a good soul. God told him he had a good soul. He would suffer in life and die in pain and horror, but would in the end receive salvation.
Dang.
That is, I had to put a, like a little reference on that because I was like, this ain't real. So I had to like look it up. And his friend, a good friend of his, wrote a biography about him and it was in there.
Oh.
So I was like, that's pretty legit. But at age 6, he's saying this?
Yeah, like at age 6, he's like, they're like, okay, what happened today, child, at church? And he's like, well, I learned that I'd have a hard life and that I would die in a horrific death.
And then the
parents
priest
were like,
was
dope.
And the priest was like, say 4 Hail Marys and an Our Father.
He's like, I have a good soul.
It's okay.
It's okay. My soul's good. I'm just going to be a mess.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. But it's okay. I'll have salvation. It's fine.
He obviously did like, if a good friend, unless a good friend was still a good friend of his at like 6, you know, then he must have like talked about that later in life.
Yeah.
So do you think he's still, I don't know. I guess we can't like speculate, but like, I would think that he still like sort of believed in like the Catholic God.
You mean when he's older?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, he also talked about Buddhism, so I'm guessing he did stray from that at one point.
Yes. We'll get into that. But okay. Yes, I would assume that if he retold it at some point.
Right, like he had some belief.
Yeah. It's a good guy.
If you're going to sit there and be like, God told me this at 6, like you have to believe something.
Right.
If you believe God talked to you at 6.
Unless he told his friend at 6 was 6 and then his friend remembered it.
Because everybody was 6. I just don't feel like everybody was 6.
No.
Yeah. Okay, what else?
Kerouac was athletic a little bit. He was a running back in football for Lowell High School, which earned him a scholarship offer offers, not just one, from Boston College, Notre Dame, and Columbia University.
Notre Dame.
Don't
make it fancy.
I'm fucking theater,
okay? We're in the U.S. We don't make it fancy. Cool.
At Columbia, Kerouac wrote...
So he chose Columbia.
He chose to go to Columbia. And
That's fair.
When he was there, he wrote several sports articles for the student newspaper, the Columbia Daily Spectator.
It's always so funny when, like, yeah, like, so he's really into sports, and then he's like, I'm going to be a beat poet now.
Like, well, that's where he started.
An artsy guy.
No, which he's, is, I think, kind of lends to his interesting life story.
Yeah, he's like a man's man, but then he's like,
mm-hmm.
That's good.
He
cool
was
for
super
him.
Into sports, and then he just kind of went to the...
Look at him, fighting those toxic masculinity.
Right.
And, like, not even, like, because, you know, like, I feel like some people, like, you know, do it in a way where they're like, I can either like this or like that. It's like Macklemore. I'm going to bring him up all the time. He's like,
this is the second
if I color,
in a row.
I can't do sports. If I draw, I can't do sports.
That's true. That's
so,
true.
Yeah, look, he was just like, I'm going to do whatever I want.
That's true.
And back in the day.
Yes, and back in the day.
Yeah.
Want to talk about doing things that men shouldn't do or weren't at the time considered.
What?
I don't know. My brain had it and it just left. Things that men shouldn't do. His early adulthood.
Oh, okay.
Which we will talk about after we come back from a break.
Doo-ba-da-doo-boo. That we need to play out. Hi, friends. Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like this podcast, you can also like us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is at 6of1podcast, 6 spelled out, O-F, 1, the numeral podcast. Look us up. Hello and welcome back to the 6 of 1 podcast. We are talking about Jack Kerouac or Jacques Kerouac. That was my French accent. That was not good.
That was good.
It was not good. All right, Kyle, let's jump back into it. We're going to talk about his early adulthood. We got through his childhood, so.
Yes, we are. Yeah. We're going to kind of go, I guess, chronologically?
Chronologically. Yeah. I think that would be right.
And then, you know, dive into what he actually wrote and a lot of the inspiration behind it, because I think that's the most interesting part about Jack Kerouac.
Right.
When he was at Columbia University playing football, because that's a scholarship.
Right.
He broke a leg.
He's writing too.
But he broke a leg playing football during his freshman season. So early on, he dropped out because he couldn't play anymore because he broke his leg. I would assume probably hurt after that. He continued to live in for a time in New York's Upper West Side with his girlfriend and future first wife. I'm assuming her first name is pronounced Edie Parker.
Yeah, like Edie Falco.
Yeah, like Edie Falco. But it's not. It's Edie Parker.
No. That wouldn't make any sense because Edie Falco would not be old enough for that.
And this really, like, it sucks that he broke his leg because he probably could have been. I mean, if he got a scholarship, he probably could have been a really good football player. But.
But, like, good for us because.
Exactly.
He would have probably just been a football player.
Because if he didn't, he wouldn't have dropped out and he wouldn't have continued to live in.
Maybe he would have went pro.
Right. And he wouldn't have met Allen Ginsberg, Neil Cassady, and William S. Burroughs.
So question, isn't New York, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but isn't the Upper West Side, isn't that fancy?
I think so.
Isn't that like rich bitch territory? I mean, the East Upper East Side is.
Upper East Side for sure.
So maybe not the Upper West Side.
Maybe not.
I don't know. I just assumed every upper side, like anything above a certain number. I don't know nothing about New York.
I don't know either.
Look at me. I just watched like two episodes of Sex and the City.
All I know is that Greenwich Village is like the gay
Greenwich?
Area. Greenwich Village. Greenwich?
Yeah, it has W in it, but you don't say the W.
Oh. Well.
Greenwich.
See, this is, yep, I absolutely know nothing about New York.
I know how to say Greenwich Village, though.
Greenwich. I think, right? It's the gay town?
I don't know. I just know the gay town of Chicago. It's called
Boys Town.
Boys Town.
Oh
my God, wait, sorry. Fun fact, they're apparently shooting a reboot of The Nanny in Boys Town.
Ooh.
I know.
That'd be nice. So he is hanging out in...
With Edie
in New York. And in 1942, he decides to join the United States Merchant Marine.
Well, that checks out for like a writer, I feel like.
And in 1943, he joined the U.S. Navy.
That checks out, too.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you've seen a picture or not, but this is also a big reason why I like Jack Kerouac so much.
Because he's cute. He's cute, though.
I'm going to show you a picture of his U.S. Navy mugshot, I guess you can call it.
I don't think that's what they call it, but yeah. Oh, honey.
What? No?
He's not even that cute.
Oh, my God. I think he's so hot.
I think he looks like a football player.
He does look like a football player.
He looks like he got hit in the head too many times.
He does. But he's so hot. If you are listening, I
think he's fine.
I'm
looking,
going
but
to.
But also, you know what my husband looks like. Like, I have a different type of
That's true.
Human.
We do have different tastes.
Although that guy looks nothing like your fiance. So.
No, I know. That's the funny
so
thing.
So that's fair, too.
But yeah, if you're listening, look up a picture of Jack Kerouac. He looks like a football player.
He does. He looks like a hit in the, he looks like a concussion.
He probably did, though. He served eight days of active duty with the Navy before arriving on the sick list. 8 days. He made it 8 days.
But he made it through basic.
He made yeah.
Like, he must have made it through basic if he was
yeah,
made it.
Because he wasn't active, yeah.
Well, that's good. He made it. That's a lot.
He made it on the sick list because he said he asked for aspirin for his headaches and they diagnosed him dementia precox and sent me here.
Cox.
And then the medical examiner reported that Kerouac's military adjustment was poor, quoting Kerouac, "I just can't stand it. I like to be by myself."
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's that a checks. Fair reason.
That, yeah.
So he just didn't like to be in there.
He just didn't like it.
Making up lies.
2 days later, he was honorably discharged on the psychiatric grounds that he was of indifferent character with a diagnosis of schizoid personality.
That's really funny. You know that my mom's dad, my grandfather, was in the service.
Oh, yeah?
And I think he was. Maybe he wasn't dishonorably discharged, but I think he might have been. Because he kept just, like, wandering off.
Oh, yeah. Can't do that.
Yeah. Like, he wasn't going AWOL. I think he was running away. I think he was going AWOL because he was, like, having too much fun. He was just fucking around.
He was just too interested in everything else that wasn't
fucking around
what
going
he was
AWOL,
supposed to be doing.
Yeah,
that's
so.
Fine.
I feel like, yeah.
I identify with that.
Some people
I vibe with that.
Don't. I mean, I'm going to say this and people are going to hate me, but I kind of respect somebody that knows their limits more, you know?
Mm.
Like, he got in there and he was like, this is not for me.
Mm-mm, yeah.
I'm not going to do well here.
No.
Yeah.
And I would.
Yeah.
I'd do the same thing.
Okay. So schizoid.
Yeah. Was he really, though? I don't know.
Maybe.
I think
he's a writer, so.
Yeah. He had some weird tendencies.
Probably had, like, anxiety, at least.
At least. In 1944, Kerouac was arrested as a material witness in the murder of David
That was a fucking jump.
Cammerer. It was, though. I mean, that's, like, literally the next thing that happened. He was discharged, and then he was arrested.
Okay. Who?
David Cammerer.
Okay.
Kammerer, who had been stalking Kerouac's friend Lucien Carr since Carr was a teenager in St. Louis.
St. Louis, my cat.
It's St. Louis, my cat. It's an important thing though because it is the basis of the novel "And the Hippos Were Boiled in Their Tanks," which he and Burroughs collaborated on.
What you just said to me sounded like a riddle. What?
So, he was
who's
arrested.
Burroughs?
He was William S. Burroughs.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
One of the
when
Beat
you just
Generation
said
writers.
When you just said Burroughs, I was like, could be anybody.
I should probably explain. So, a Beat Generation. Well, I think we'll get into the Beat Generation.
I know about that. I guess maybe they don't. But like, if we're gonna get into it later, that's fine. But like, yeah, William S.
I don't
Burroughs.
Really remember. I think there's a reason why they called it the Beat Generation, but they were basically a collection
they
of guys.
Beat the shit out of each other.
They beat the shit. No, they were like
it was like because the music, like that kind of like, boop it up, like scatting.
Yes. The term Beat Generation was invented by Kerouac during a conversation held with fellow novelist Herbert Hunk. Hunk? Hunky? Hunky used the term beat to describe a person with little money and few prospects. That's the thing. Is
okay.
People think it's beat because of drums, but it's just because they're beat down.
Okay. So he witnessed a murder.
Yes, and he was arrested.
You never really explained how the murder happened or what the murder was.
So according to Carr, Lucien Carr, who had been stalked by David Cammerer,
mm-hmm.
Cammerer's homosexual obsession turned aggressive. Finally provoking Carr to stab him to death in self-defense.
Oh.
That's
I feel
so
really bad for Cammerer.
I know.
So Carr stabbed him.
Stabbed him to death because...
So I feel like... I feel like it might have been a hate crime.
It was probably a hate crime. Who knows if he actually...
But like maybe he was... I mean like maybe...
Stalked him.
Yeah, maybe he was being stalked, and he was, like, this guy was, like,
about to like rape him. You don't know, but it also just reads hate crime.
Who's to say? It definitely
It reads
does.
That like Kammerer was just like a just existing maybe.
Mm-hmm. And Carr was like,
and
bro.
And Carr just hated it. Which is sad if Jack Kerouac watched that because he hung out with Allen Ginsberg, who was also gay.
Mm-hmm. Just wait. Carr dumped his body in the Hudson River.
What?
Kerouac disposed of the murder weapon and buried Kammerer's eyeglasses.
Okay, if it was in self-defense, why didn't you call the police?
Exactly. Carr turned himself in, which is even weirder.
Yeah, like, I guess remorse. Because, like, I guess I get it. Like, you get caught up in the situation. You're like, oh, I got to dispose of a body. I'm going to go to jail. But then you're like, I feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
So this is all talked about in the hippos were boiled in their tanks. And this is probably one of my favorite books ever written.
I hate the name.
And I know. It's a really weird name, but I kind of love the name too. I don't get the reference. Well, actually, no, there's a reference in the book.
Is it one of those like books where like it's referenced once?
Yeah, it's referenced once.
Oh, I hate that. But I mean, I guess it makes sense, but I always hate it.
They wrote it, so
that's how we name our podcast episodes sometimes, though. So
this is true.
We're just like Jack Kerouac.
He wrote it with Burroughs,
right?
And yeah, no, it was Kerouac and Burroughs. The only book that they ever wrote together.
Okay.
And they wrote it a long, long time ago. It wasn't published until 2008.
What? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's crazy.
It was like a huge thing at the time.
Okay.
It's so good. I have a copy of it.
Maybe I'll read it. Oh, my God.
And it basically tells the story of this murder and more, but he changes the name of everybody.
I'm going to be real with you. I probably won't actually read anything, no. But I would maybe listen to it.
Fair.
I will listen to a book.
Audible.
Yeah.
Not sponsored, but get it.
It just hurts my eyes to read sometimes, man. I'm old.
That's fair. I love reading. So Kerouac then agreed to marry Edie Parker if her parents would pay the bail of, you know, him being in jail.
Poor fucking Edie.
I know.
What?
But then their marriage was annulled in 1948.
Okay.
4 years later.
Oh, 4 years and it was annulled?
Yep.
Ooh.
Later, Kerouac lived with his parents after his marriage in the Ozone Park neighborhood of Queens. After that, or after they had also moved to New York, his parents.
Okay.
Did.
Ozone Park.
He wrote his first published novel, *The Town and the City*, and began the famous *On the Road* around 1949 when he lived there.
Right.
Okay. On the road.
Yeah, that's the one.
That is the one.
All right.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any ideas for topics that we should cover in the future, go ahead and email us at 6of1podcast, all spelled out, @gmail.com. And maybe your topic will be selected for a future episode. The Town and the City was published in 1950 under the name John Kerouac.
Right.
It was sold. It sold very poorly.
Hmm.
And it reflects on the generational epic formula and the contrast of small life versus or small town life versus the multidimensional and larger life of the city. Boring stuff.
Right, like people probably, you know, looked at it and was like, "Oh, you went to New York and you think you're special now?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was heavily edited, as much of his stuff was.
Probably, yeah, that's fair.
With over 400 pages taken out.
Dang.
It's a lot of pages.
That is a lot of pages.
Kerouac completed what is now known as On the Road in April 1951, which is actually, I looked it up, and I was like, On the Road is so stinking similar to Catcher in the Rye. I wonder if they were done around the same time. Catcher in the Rye was published when Kerouac completed On the Road. But On the Road was not published until 6 years later.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But Salinger wasn't a beat poem.
He was not considered part of the beat generation,
no.
But he has kind of similar writing styles. Like, I think that They must have ran kind of around in the same circles-ish.
I mean, that makes sense.
I don't know where Salinger was in the world, but...
I don't know what he did.
Very, very similar to me.
I do love Catcher in the Rye, though.
It's one of my favorites, too.
It's a good one.
So then Kerouac lived in Manhattan with his second wife, Joan Haverty.
Haverty?
Haverty. The book was largely... Oh, On the Road.
Yeah.
I was like, what book? The book.
You're the one leading this, right?
You know.
Okay.
I am...
So On the Road.
I'm a...
What?
Misguided captain. I'm a captain that doesn't know where he's going.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
On the Road was largely autobiographical.
Okay, I knew that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, yep, yep. And it describes Kerouac's road trip adventures across the U.S. and Mexico with Neal Cassady in the late 40s and early 50s, as well as his relationships with other beat writers and friends.
Oh, yay.
Kerouac wrote the final draft in 20 days with Joan, his wife, supplying him with Benzedrine, cigarettes, bowls of pea soup, and mugs of coffee to keep him going.
What's Benzedrine?
I don't know. I think it's long version of benzos, but I don't know what that is.
You don't even know. I mean, I just want to know, what kind of
drug. Some drug.
Benzedrine. But, what kind of drug?
Probably, some...
It is... Oh, it's an amphetamine.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like speed.
That tracks.
So, he basically was just taking speed.
He was taking speed, drinking coffee.
Got it.
Eating bowls of pea soup.
Yeah.
And smoking cigarettes.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense why he's eating pea soup if he is on amphetamines, because you're not hungry when you're on speed.
Oh.
Yes.
So he didn't need a whole lot of substance.
And I know that, guys, because I was prescribed an amphetamine for weight loss once.
Oh.
Because it curbs your appetite. Doctors rather you take speed than be fat. That's my story.
Welcome to the American medical system.
Right? Okay, Benzedrine.
So Kerouac must have, I don't know, known that he didn't want to stop writing at all, because before he began, he cut sheets of tracing paper into long strips, like wide enough for a typewriter, and then he taped them together into a 120-foot long roll.
Oh, okay. So he would have a roll he could write on.
Which then he fed it, into the machine. It would just keep going and going and going.
Put new paper in there.
He didn't even want to stop to put paper in.
Oh.
To reload papers.
Yeah, but he was also on speed.
He was also on speed.
You're like, oh, he's just so inspired. No, he's doped.
Yeah, no, he's just cracked out of his mind. Though the work was completed quickly, Kerouac had a long and difficult time finding a publisher.
Oh.
I mean, it makes sense.
That's fair.
Because they rejected it because of its experimental writing style and its sexual content. At the time, he was part of the Beat Generation, and the Beat Generation wrote on a lot of drug use and sexual content. Mm-hmm. And at the time, this is what, the 40s, 50s?
Yeah.
That was not something you wrote about.
And there was a lot of gay people in the Beat Generation, right?
There's a lot of gay people in
especially
the Beat Generation.
Especially in that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was not cool.
Homosexuality is not something you wrote about.
I think it was literally criminalized at that time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So obviously, no one wants to publish that shit.
Right.
There were a graphic description of drug use and homosexual behavior. A move that could result in obscenity charges being filed. A fate that later befell Burroughs' Naked Lunch and Ginsberg's Howl.
Right.
Look at
which
that.
Which is what the movie was called.
I thought that sounded familiar.
Yeah, I don't know. I always think it's Hoot, but then Hoot's that movie with the owl that those kids save. It's a children's movie.
Oh, yep.
So that's what I confused it for. It's a children's movie.
Two very different things.
Very different.
I've never read Naked Lunch, but I really wanted to.
Oh.
It's in my book list, but it's supposedly really graphically sexual in the homosexual way. So
okay.
It's interesting, especially for that time.
Right. So it is interesting. Yeah. So he is writing about gay shit, but also helped facilitate a murder of a gay man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So... you got a lot to answer for, Kerouac.
Mr. Kerouac.
Mr. Kerouac.
And then the Buddhism part comes in, because between 1955 and 1956, he lived on and off with his sister in North Carolina, where he meditated on and studied Buddhism.
Was Carolee Caroline?
Yeah.
Was she a Buddhist?
I don't think so.
So he was just those are two different facts connected. Yep. Okay. Yep. Cool.
Got it. I don't know. Yeah.
I guess. I was just wondering if like the fact that he was living with his sister had something to do with the fact that he studied Buddhism.
I don't think it does. I don't know why the two were correlated.
I mean, it's just where he was. Got it.
I guess to give him some geolocation of some sort.
He was not hanging out with Joan.
My hypothesis on why he picked up Buddhism is because of the murder and the life that he was going down.
Right.
Because he was hopped up on drugs all the time. And
also, I feel like it's like a really, I mean, also a hipster thing to do. But like, I feel like it's a really big thing within like, you know, alternative communities to like, you know, deviate from your religion and go to the Eastern religions.
Absolutely. I would absolutely agree with that.
Yeah.
It's a hipster thing.
And the Beat Generations are OG hipsters.
Yeah, they're OG hipsters. And then in the spring of 1951, while pregnant, Joan...
He was pregnant?
He was. Joan Haverty, his second wife, left and divorced him.
Ah, she was like, fuck you.
While pregnant. February 1952, she gave birth to Kerouac's only child, Jan Kerouac.
Jan.
Only child. The only descendant of Jack Kerouac, and she died without having kids in 1996.
Man, it happens sometimes. Lines end. I mean, Carolyn probably has some kids. She could.
Oh, yeah, that's possible. So you could have some. That's possible. But Jack Kerouac himself, bloodline gone. Done.
Okay. Sorry, Jack.
It's sad. I really wish that, like, if there...
Nobody to carry on your legacy of doing a lot of speed.
If there were descendants of Jack Kerouac, I would absolutely try to hunt them down.
Sorry, Josh.
No, I would just want to talk to them.
I just want to talk.
With my penis. What?
He would have already done this before you met Josh, though. So, like,
probably.
It's fine.
More than likely.
It would have been before.
It would have been before. Or so we say. And let's take another break. Okay. And then when we come back, we'll talk about a later career and then toward, you know, the end when he dies and whatnot. Later career and death, I guess you could say.
Dying. If you would like to advertise with our podcast, we would greatly appreciate it. Just send us an email to 6of1podcast, all spelled out, @gmail.com. That's 6of1podcast @gmail.com. Hello and welcome back to the show. We are talking about...
I love it. That was great. I'm going to use that as our jingle for now.
We are talking about Jack Kerouac. the beat poet who witnessed a murder. That's all he's known for is murder.
Murder.
We're talking about his later career and end of life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hit it.
So the big jump here, 1951, when his second wife left him.
Yeah, left him with Jan. Well, he didn't leave him with Jan. Left Jan. Like, she took Jan, right?
She hadn't given birth to him. To her, yet.
Yeah, but so she left with Jan for sure because Jan was in her belly.
In her belly, yeah.
That's fair.
So this is 6 years later, 1957, in July. He didn't really do a whole lot, it sounds like.
Okay.
In July, he moved to Orlando, Florida. Weeks later, a review of the book of... I don't know what book this is. I'm assuming On the Road.
Oh, so... Yeah. Okay, sorry, I'm looking at your notes. So the review of the book was by Gilbert Milstein.
Yes.
Not a book by Gilbert
Milstein. Yes. Okay. No, a review of the book, On the Road, the review was by Gilbert Milstein.
Okay.
Appeared in the New York Times proclaiming Kerouac the voice of a new generation.
Oh, that probably went to his fucking head.
Yeah. Oh, you know it did.
Right.
Because remember, originally it didn't sell well.
Yeah.
And publishers didn't want to pick it up. So then this review comes out about it and... Everyone's like, oh, interesting. I told you what a Beat Generation was already.
Right.
The success of On the Road brought Kerouac instant fame. But he felt unsafe. He was badly beaten by three men outside a cafe in New York City one night.
Is it because of the gay shit?
Yeah.
That's
because of the homosexual tendencies in the book.
Yeah.
Because he did write about that a little bit.
That's really sad.
I think to analyze it, not that it needs analyzing, I think that if he was in this time, if he was living in 2021, he would have been an openly gay man.
Oh, you think he'd be gay?
I think I absolutely think
he's not bi?
No.
In I mean, he made time, a kid, so he'd a woman.
I think, well, and at the time, society deemed it not okay to be just gay.
Yeah, but they didn't deem it okay to be bi either. So like,
That's true.
Don't quit it with your bi erasure over.
I really do. I don't know.
Could.
It gives me
you
like
could
super.
Because right, he did like marry a couple people. He married his first wife just for financial gain.
That's my thing. Is he married a bunch of women? And
just
like,
two. Does he get married again? Just two. Like lots of people have married two women.
That's true, but he also had like, you know, a lot of he wrote like it seemed like he was fascinated with homosexuality.
Right, but like okay, here's my argument still though. Because if he was bi, he wouldn't be fascinated by like sex with women cuz he's experienced sex with women. But if he hadn't experienced sex with men, then that would be more fascinating. Cuz it's new.
Oh.
So like you can still like sex with women.
Yeah.
But then also be like, this is interesting.
Mm.
Sex with men also sounds great.
Or maybe it was
just pan.
He was just getting into it and it was piquing his interest.
Maybe he was like, I thought I should have sex with women and now sex with men sounds cooler.
And I think I actually might be gay. Or maybe he is pan. I don't know. I don't think though he would have
like
been
like he was queer
straight.
Somehow.
Yeah, he would not have been straight, and I'm hesitant to say he would have been bi.
He was in the community.
He was definitely in the community. Kerouac suffered the loss of his older sister to a heart attack in 1964, and his his mother suffered a paralyzing stroke in 1966.
Caroline died first.
Caroline died first.
And then his mom.
And then his mom 2 years later.
Whatever her name was.
In 1968, Neil Cassady also died while in Mexico.
Yeah, he was real close to Neil Cassady.
So in 64, sister dies. 66, mother dies. 68, Neil Cassady dies.
Mm.
Bam, bam, bam.
Die,
so
die,
he
die.
Was like riding the high of on the road.
And
then
he's like, I'm famous. And they were like, haha, you thought.
His wife divorced him, took his kid, sister, mom, and
you
lover.
Can't say sister mom.
Sister.
You can't say sister mom and lover. You need to put commas in there. The sister mom and lover died.
Wrong kind of story.
Yeah, no. This isn't Game of Thrones.
Fun fact, in 1968, he last appeared on television for Firing Line. I don't know what that
is. What the hell is Fire? First of all, when did he first appear on television?
Oh, he did like, you know, press stuff for the books and
yeah, but
like,
it's really funny that you put the time he last appeared.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know any for like that. This last is news to me. He was on television.
No. Yeah. That's fair.
Let me huckle you.
Please just huckle me the entire time. That's all our podcast is.
That is just one of us telling a story and one of us and heckling. Me heckling you and you being fascinated. I am also fascinated by the story.
Okay, so it
I'm
is interesting.
I'm just a natural heckler. Yeah, it's interesting.
Okay, because as I'm reading and going through it, I'm like, this doesn't sound as interesting as I thought it did in my head.
No, I'm interested.
I'm just his
the life murder
just,
part.
The murder part is just definitely like.
Murder part was interesting.
What the hell?
The fact that he, yeah. I mean, what you just said was interesting.
The fact that he was straight but also gay. Well, mostly gay but also straight.
We don't know. It's all speculation.
It is all speculation.
He could have just been straight.
He could have just been straight.
He could have just like had friends and been a nice guy that wasn't going to hate crime them.
Yep. This part's really interesting, actually. Okay. On the morning of October 20th, 1969, so almost, 70 years ago now?
Yeah.
Somewhere there.
No. It would be 61 years ago.
Don't tell me you just did math that quick in your
head.
Yeah,
I did. 62. Sorry, I forgot it was 2021. Yeah.
52.
You're
off by 10 years.
Oh,
You were up by 20, so I'm closer. Price is right. I win.
52 years ago. He was writing or working on a book about his father's print shop.
Oh, was his father still alive?
No.
Oh.
No, he was just working on a book about it, I think.
Oh, okay.
He suddenly felt nauseated and went to the bathroom where he began to vomit blood.
Oh.
He was taken to the hospital suffering from an esophageal hemorrhage. Because of all that smoking.
Oh, and probably the amphetamines didn't help.
Mm-mm. He smoked. He was a heavy smoker.
Right.
Everyone was.
And all he ate was pea soup.
So he received several transfusions in an attempt to make up for the loss of blood, and the doctor subsequently attempted surgery, but a damaged liver prevented his blood from clotting.
That was probably the speed and the drinking.
Because he drank and, yep.
Yeah. The coffee probably didn't help the esophagus either.
No. No. Yeah, I can imagine not.
Nothing he did helped it.
No. He never regained consciousness after the operation and died at the hospital at age 47.
God. I mean, that's sad, but you know what's sadder? Carolyn was his older sister and died before him.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, wait, no, that doesn't make any sense.
No, that checks. That tracks.
No, it doesn't track because I was thinking is that it was his younger sister. Yeah. It was his older sister.
If it was his younger sister, that'd be tragic. Surprising. That'd be horrible.
But
well, he did.
I mean, it's still
tragic. He had a younger brother that died at age 9.
Yeah, but like, yeah, okay, so. Yeah, thank God the mom and dad were dead. Like, everybody's dead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everybody's you're dead. Right. His bloodline's probably gone because everybody died.
Everybody died.
Ugh.
For various things, too, like heart attacks and not just, like, drinking and amphetamines.
47
and
is 47 early. Is that makes me
young.
Nervous.
You had the same thought that I did when I read that and wrote this all down. Ooh. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, but you know he was probably chain smoking, though.
He was chain smoking. He was taking heavy drugs.
Like, have you ever smoked, like, more than a pack a day?
Never in my life. Never more than a half a pack a day in my life.
Right, so.
I
was up to probably close to a pack a day at one point, but.
It's so scary as
not
hell.
Not more than a pack a day.
But then I'm like, oh, I drink a lot. And like a damaged liver prevents your blood
from clotting. Yeah, but you still probably don't drink as much as he drank.
Probably not, no.
Yeah.
His cause of death was listed as an internal hemorrhage, bleeding esophageal varices, caused by cirrhosis, the result of long-time alcohol abuse.
Right.
A possible contributing factor was the untreated hernia he suffered in a bar fight several weeks earlier. So that's not helped.
Aw.
At the time of his death, he was living with his third wife.
Oh, so he did have a third wife.
Stella Sampas Kerouac and his mother, Gabrielle. Oh, so what?
I'm glad you said mom because I was someone too.
She dead. Maybe it meant her mother.
But his mother's name was Gabrielle.
Oh, yeah. Him and my dad, though. Oh, no.
Who?
His sister died. His mother only suffered
paralyzing stroke. We just thought she died because of the stroke.
Yep.
Okay. That checks out. So he had a third wife. See, I feel like third wife can go either way. You think third wife means he's gay, but third wife could mean he's not gay.
He's just a player. He really likes the women's.
Yeah. Well, they keep leaving him, really. He just sucks.
True. He just sucks. He's just a horrible. I couldn't even imagine being with someone like that. That's always.
Right.
And you know he was consumed in his work.
Right. Like if somebody was like, I'm going to work on this, like with this paper that I created so I can just take a whole bunch of speed and just keep working. And can you bring me pea soup? I'd be like, fuck no. I can't bring you pea soup while you write for 5 days in a row.
How about you get off
and
the typewriter?
Don't shower. Like, go fucking wash your ass. Yeah, no, I wouldn't be.
Get off the typewriter and fuck me, please.
Right. Like, I am pregnant and I'm still leaving you.
Oof.
That's what I would do too.
It's rough.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm right with her. I'm right with Joan.
Yeah. I am too.
All that pea soup she made.
All that pea soup. Oh, I was going to say about the On the Road. I started reading On the Road. But it's very long, the edition that I have.
Oh, you have not finished it?
No.
That's fair.
Well, I mean, he wrote it on the 120-foot long paper. But originally, when it was published, I didn't include this, but it was edited, of course.
Right.
But they re-released it years later. Yeah, unedited. And I got the unedited one, and it's seriously like a dictionary. It's like enormous.
Like you're reading War and Peace.
And it's really, it's a very, yes, it's a very different type of reading too, because it's Jack Kerouac. It's all.
It's probably exhausting to read too.
It's just all stream of consciousness. Right. And it's like, it's very exhausting to read. So I had to read it bit by bit.
That's fair.
It's hard to keep up.
Okay.
So.
I don't blame you.
I will report back. When
I haven't
have
read any of it, so I don't blame you.
It'll be years from now, but
okay.
So his legacy, obviously, he was a real big guy, not big, but like you know,
he looked large. He was a football player.
Well, he could have been large. He artists like Bob Dylan, the Beatles, Patti Smith, Tom Waits, the Grateful Dead, and the Doors all credit Kerouac as a significant influence on their music and lifestyles. In his book, Light My Fire: My Life with the Doors. Oh, you're going to have to help me with this. Ray Manzarek?
That sounds right. I don't know Ray Manzarek.
He's the keyboard player of the Doors.
Yeah, like I got that part, but like I didn't know his name until you just told me it right now.
Thought you might.
No, sorry, Ray, but...
I'm sorry, Ray.
You're not the Doors guys I know.
He wrote, I suppose if Jack Kerouac had never written On the Road, the Doors would have never existed.
That's fair. I feel like... I only know Jim Morrison, so like I don't know any other Doors.
Jim Morrison.
That's I don't know any other Doors.
Yeah. In 1974, the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poets was opened. Doesn't that have a horrible name?
Were they disabled? Did they have missing limbs?
No.
I don't understand that. I don't understand.
It's hipstery.
It is hipstery. Okay. Okay.
It's horrible. It was opened in his honor by Allen Ginsberg, nonetheless.
That's fair.
And Anne Waldman at Naropa University, which is a private Buddhist university in Boulder, Colorado.
Okay.
Colorado.
Anne Waldman? Am I supposed to know her?
Nope.
Okay, cool.
I have no idea
who she
is.
I didn't know her, so I was hoping not.
I'm assuming maybe Allen's... Nope, Allen was gay. I don't know.
Yeah, Allen was 100% gay.
I was going to say his wife.
Like he was open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. In the mid-1980s, Kerouac Park was placed in downtown Lowell.
So I feel like I told you it was
took
Lowell,
a while.
But what if it is Lowell?
I'm just pronouncing it Lowell from now on, though.
That's fair.
I like Lowell
better. That's fair. Okay.
A street, Rue de Jack Kerouac, is named after him in Quebec City, as well as in the hamlet of Kerouac, Lanmer, Brittany. Oh!
What the fuck is a hamlet?
That's right. So... I don't know what his name is. But, no, his parents or his descendants, I remember seeing this, were from Lenmore, Brittany, which is...
So the hamlet of Kerouac must be like a place where his descendants were from.
Yeah, I want to say Brittany is in France somewhere.
It's a small settlement, generally one smaller than a village.
Oh,
so there was a whole, like, they had a village.
Well, smaller than a village. It's a teeny place. So he said three streets named after him. Go
figure. So many streets.
A street in Quebec City, a street in France, and then the city of San Francisco named a one-way street, Jack Kerouac Alley, in his honor in Chinatown. That one was recent.
Okay.
The Jack Kerouac Writers in Residence Project of Orlando. Oh, okay, hold on. That was really bad. I read all day today. I read The Giver to my kids all day today.
Oh, that's fair.
Reading is not happening anymore. The Jack Kerouac Writers in Residence Project of Orlando Incorporated.
Okay.
Long title. It's a group that provides opportunities for aspiring writers to live in the same house in which Kerouac was inspired, with room and board covered for 3 months.
That's great.
Is that not so cool?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I would have loved to have done that. If I had known...
You would have gotten to write. Well, you're in writing, but like you would have gotten to like seriously into writing.
Seriously, and been able to stay like, in the same place that Jack Kerouac lived.
I mean, you could still do it.
It's for young writers, aspiring writers. Sorry.
But I feel like you could still claim yourself that to get free room and board. Yeah.
Mm.
Like, oh, I'm just self-published.
I'm just an aspiring.
I'm inspiring. I'm doing my best.
In 2007, Kerouac was posthumously awarded. I always have to pause.
Oh
when
my
I say
god,
that
I'm
word.
So it's so hard when you read it.
Posthumously awarded an honorary Doctor of Letters degree from the University of Massachusetts Lowell.
Lowell.
In the In the 2010s, there was a surge in films based on the Beat Generation, i.e. Howl.
When Howl came out, yeah.
See also Howl. Our conversation about Howl.
There's an On the Road, too.
I think there was an adaptation of On the Road.
2012 it came out.
Oh.
Oh, it's Kristen Stewart in it.
Dude. Okay. I need to watch it. Well, first I need to read the book, but then I need to watch it. So there's a species, this is the weirdest thing, a species of Indian platygastrid wasp.
I'm really proud of you for saying platygastrid.
Platygastrid wasp. Mm-hmm. That is phoretic, which means hitchhiking.
Oh.
On grasshoppers is named after him as the Mantabaria kerouacsi.
That's really
Kerouacsi?
That's really funny. Is it a parasitic wasp?
I would assume so. Okay. Because
that's
it
really
hitchhikes
funny.
On grasshoppers. They named a fucking wasp after him.
I wish I had a wasp named after
me. Well, you know, do a bunch of drugs and then write a bunch of shit.
The drugs part
really
is the most pertinent part.
It's the most pertinent part. Marry a few bitches.
Just
impregnate one.
I can't do that part.
Mm.
Damn it.
And then the most interesting and the last fact I have for you of his legacy is in October 2015, a crater on the planet Mercury was named in his honor.
Okay, that's a little much.
What?
I didn't even know we named craters on Mercury.
We got schools, parks, streets.
Disembodied poet schools.
Wasps and craters in his name.
All right.
Like, what?
I mean, good for you. I feel like he would be like, what? Like, I feel like he would learn that and he wouldn't feel like, I don't know. I guess if I died, right, and then all this shit happened, mm-hmm. I would be like, okay.
It's no,
weird,
you know what
but
he would
okay.
do?
I don't think I would feel, like, flattered.
He would take a bunch of drugs and then write a book about it.
Yeah, he would. He'd write, like, a book about imposter syndrome. Be like, I'm not as great as they think I am because I do a lot of drugs.
I do a lot of drugs.
And I'm secretly gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Jack Kerouac.
I think he's crazy.
He had such an interesting life. Being in the time that he was in and doing the things he was doing. I mean, he was pretty, my God, what is the word? He paved the way. Not inspirational, but.
He inspired a whole generation.
I mean, he did inspire a whole generation.
He created a whole new generation.
What is it called? Groundbreaking? No, when you pave the way for something. You
pave the way for something.
Okay, well, he paved
the
way.
I don't know another word that you're like
I can't think
I don't know, paved away.
Like when you think of
when
people,
you pave away, you pave away.
Yeah. Let's land on that, I guess.
Sorry, I wish I had a synonym.
I wish I did too. But he paved the way for a very different type of writing.
Yeah.
Which I mean it was only 50s and 60s, but could have influenced a lot.
Probably influences people today.
Up to this point, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was just, you know, a pretty...
He's the reason we have the Doors.
Pretty legit dude, yeah. So I suggest if you are listening and you have not yet, go get a copy of... my first pick is In the Hippos Were Boiled in the Tanks. But
and
then
if
also
you get
on the
road, maybe just get the one that's edited.
Yeah, if you're not into the...
If you want to be able to finish it.
If you want to be able to finish it, yeah. I think it was edited. I don't know why it was edited. Probably for all the sexual shit.
Well, it was probably edited for like length too.
In length.
Because it's too fucking long.
Jack.
You don't need all this shit.
It's too long.
I mean, lots of things are edited, so yeah, it's fair.
Yeah.
Also, he was on drugs.
He was also on drugs.
Yeah, he's probably like Stephen King. He's like, I don't remember writing half of that shit. Remember, Stephen King does not remember writing Cujo.
Oh my God!
Like the whole book.
I believe it. Writers, drugs,
yeah,
booze.
He did a lot of coke.
Cigarettes. Yeah. See.
Yeah.
That's a writer's life.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be because they die at 47.
Mm.
If you just could have been like James Patterson and did less drugs, you could be still writing every book that's ever existed.
But that's why I love writers. Because they burn bright for such a short a time and they have such an impact on the world and then they die.
Yeah, but that's horrific, too.
It's such a horrific thing, but it just adds
to
the tragedy.
You know who else has had a great impact on the world?
Everybody. Who?
James Patterson, and he's still alive.
I don't know about that. That's a reach. That's James a reach. Patterson. That's like saying Dan Brown had an impact on
this. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I mean, Dan Brown had, though.
Or
people fucking love the Da Vinci Code. Like, you're saying that, but like,
I was gonna say Tim Burton, but he actually did have a.
He
really
did. Dan Brown did for some people. They're just not our people.
Not our people.
We just don't like the people. But yeah, you're right, James Patterson. But have you seen that TikTok of the person that's like, I work at a library and I realize that James Patterson writes everything. And like, you go to a section, like, he writes children's novels, he writes romance novels, he writes thrillers, yeah. He writes everything. Yeah. She's like, I'm now convinced that every book was just written by James Patterson.
He's a prolific writer.
He's a prolific writer.
See, the thing about Jack.
He also has those fun commercials. I'm James Patterson.
And I approve this message.
Yeah. Oh my god, maybe I'll do one on James Patterson.
Oh my god. Well, now we have to. We're obligated to.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's the thing about Jack Kerouac, though, is he wrote a lot. He was a prolific writer, but he didn't get a lot published.
No. Does he have, like, backstock somewhere? He doesn't have any family.
Obviously,
where did it go?
And the Hippos Were Boiled in the Tank wasn't published until 2008. He's got to have something
maybe
somewhere.
William What's-His-Face had that.
He probably did.
And then, like when he died, he actually had family that it went to, because all of his family wasn't dead at that point. I guess he had his wife. He did have a wife when he died.
See, I refuse to think that he didn't write more with more of the Beat Generation guys.
That's right.
Neil Cassidy, all those, Allen Ginsberg. Like, mm-hmm. They've got to have somewhere in their estate more copies of shit written by Jack Kerouac in them.
That's fair.
I feel like there's a whole conspiracy. I feel like there's a whole half, more than half, a lot of writing that we don't have from the Beat Generation.
I think it's you can say that somewhere. About a lot of writers.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Well, maybe it'll come out. They're just, like, piecing it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully someday.
Hopefully. All right. Well that was, do you have more?
That was a fun time. No? Do you have more?
No.
Hmm.
Okay, I'm going to outro us now.
Do it.
Well, we hope you learned something here today about Jacques Kerouac.
Jean-Louis Kerouac.
I learned something today. I thought that was fun. Mostly though, gonna think about the murder, but you know, still fun.
Still on the murder.
You know, I won't get off of it because I feel like it was a hate crime. But either way, thank you for listening to our episode today. We hope you enjoyed it, and we will see you next week with a new episode. And in the meantime, we hope you stay curious. 6-1.